Morning. How y'all doing? If you will, let's turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We're going to turn a lot this morning. And I want young people to listen to me. And I want you old people to listen. If you can't get there, just listen. Just listen. Every week, Kimberly sends out the sermon notes at no charge. She doesn't, her time, as just as Miss Shelby, her time is donated to the Lord's work here, and we don't ask for, that email's free, so you'll get them, and you can read through them and listen again. Be good for you. That's what the Lord gave us to do here. This could be the first in a series of, I might call common misquotations. I don't know. I'll work on the name of it, but something that's broadly misquoted and broadly misunderstood, and we hear this for this hour. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Verse 39 here, that's our text. It's in parentheses, isn't it? That's explaining to us what our Lord had just said in verse 37 and verse 38. When a person is made thirsty, if, big if any man thirst, when a person's made thirsty, they come to Christ and they drink. He's their lifeblood. He's the necessity, not the weather, not chit-chatting afterwards, Him. They consume Him. They believe. And then, out of their bellies, out of their innermost parts, rivers of living water flow out. Christ, the living water. Who He is, what He has done. If somebody gets up and tells you, I chose Jesus, I chose this, I did that, I went to church, I made a profession, I received, poor man, we'll look at this next hour. You know how precious it is we're here today? And we have God's truth. We have Christ. Do you understand that? On the radio this morning, I heard a fella saying, well, all you have to do is receive Christ. And he was relating it to a court of law. And I thought, boy, I've never really considered that. That's amazing. Everybody thinks receiving is a gift. Like it's Christmas time. And you can say, well, now I already got 3 or 4 copies of those shoes. I don't need those shoes now. I got 2 of them jackets already. I don't need that. And you could refuse the gift. When you receive pardon in a court in this land, it's yours. You say, well, I want to go to jail. Well, we ain't got room in the jails. You're free. I'm sorry about that. What about whenever you receive a guilty sentence? You receive 10 years. Go to the judge and say, well, I think I'll just wait to serve those 10 years. It's going to be 20 years, isn't it? We ought to quit relying on words the way we see them and rely them on the way God says them. That's what we ought to do. Christ flows out. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It says Spirit and it says Ghost there, doesn't it? Both of those words are the same. Pneumon. That's where we get the word pneumonia. It's breath. What did the Lord do on those waters when He created the world? He breathed on the waters. What did He do to those bones that was dry? He breathed on them, didn't He? It's the same. His Spirit and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, it's the same. It's the same. And we could get knee-deep in the weeds as to why He says both. And when He says both, we ought not supersede and usurp our authority over God, and we ought to say what He says. But we could get so knee-deep in the weeds as to why He delineates that, why He says 2 different terms, and miss Christ altogether. So let's ask better things. Are we the Father's workmanship? That's what the Scripture says, isn't it? Are we Christ's workmanship? Are we His seed, His product? Of course we are. Are we the work of the Holy Ghost? We are. We have life breathed into us somehow, don't we? Somehow. And these three are one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. How? How could they be one? They're of one mind. They're of one will. Our Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son like." Turn back a little bit there to John 6, verse 38. Just a page or two you left. John 6, 38. Lord speaks here in John 6, 38. It says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but will of Him that sent me." They are of one will. This doesn't mean that Christ has a will and it's different than the Father's and He just has to do what the Father says. No, He's constrained by His nature. His will is constrained by His nature the same as our will. Man's free will is just as free as his nature is. You're going to do what's in you. What was Christ's nature? What was His will? Same as the Father's? Holy. And we can't begin to enter into what that is. Not in this world. They have holy wills. Are they going to be different? They can't be. They can't be. It's the same. He must do what His Father does. They are one. They're of one will. They're of one mind. What about body? What about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Are they of one body? Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him, that in Christ, should all fullness dwell." What fullness was going to dwell in Christ? What's fullness? Just a whole bunch of good things? And what would be full? He would speak of. Look one page there to your right in chapter 2, verse 9. "For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Son dwelt in one body, and it walked this earth. That's a great mystery. Did you know that? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What's the first thing mentioned? God was manifest in the flesh. He came down and was made like we are. We're privileged to know those things. We'll say it again next hour. It's a privilege to know those things. It's a rare, rare thing to know those things. And I hope we see it next hour. I hope we see it every hour. And we're grateful. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, they're one in mind and they're one in human body. The Hebrew writer said, "Wherefore, when He has come into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not." We don't want your sacrifices. He don't want your blood of bulls and goats. He don't want the offerings of your mouth and your vain ramblings. He said, "But a body hast thou prepared me." That's the sacrifice He's going to accept, is the one He prepared, the one He provided. Philip had this concern. He said, "Lord, show us the Father. You speak of this Father that you pray to and that you're of one will with and that you're one with. Show us Him. Show us Him." And he says, "Philip, have I been so long with you?" He didn't cast him out, did he? He's a child. He said, "Have I been so long with you and you don't know me, Philip?" He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." They're one will. They're one body. And they're of one spirit. Turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, 4, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." There's one spirit. Paul writes the same thing over in Colossians. And he said, "For by one spirit," capital S, "are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one spirit." He's one will. All three of them. The triune God. They're of one will. They're of one body and they're of one spirit. One breath. It speaks the same breath, doesn't it? And that's what we're baptized into. That's what we have. We get our little, our lowercase s from His capital S, His spirit. He says there back in John 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. This is where all this is wrapped up in him. Let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is a person. He didn't say come to the Five Points Calvinism, did he? I hope that's the structure that I have. It's easy to digest. He said, come unto me. He didn't say come unto your decision you made when you was a little teeny bopper. He didn't say come unto your baptism. He didn't say come unto your mommy and daddy. He said, come unto me. Come unto me. But they couldn't. If any man thirst, nobody's thirsty. Why? Verse 39. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. How necessary is it for God to send his Holy Ghost to us, to give us his Spirit? How necessary is that? We'll stay in John for a little bit. Turn back to chapter 3, John 3, verse 5. John 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, of a truth. That's doubly pay attention. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. People say, I want to go to heaven. Well, you're going to have to be born of water and the Spirit, of the Word and the Spirit. That's what's going to have to happen. Look here in chapter 4, one page over. Chapter 4, verse 24. John 4, 24, this is who we're dealing with. God is a spirit, capital S. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Where does the lowercase s come from? He has to give it. We're not going to enter that kingdom of God unless the Spirit comes. The Spirit's going to give us his Spirit. And we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. In truth. Who's the truth? We're going to worship him in Christ is how we're going to do it. Chapter 6, John 6, verse 63. What's the result of these things? When the Spirit comes to someone and gives them life born and they worship, John 6, 63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. He gives it. He comes to us, gives us life. The three are one. Did the Lord speak that? Yeah, he did. Did he speak life? Of course he does. Does the Holy Ghost do that? Yes. Because they're one. James said, for the body without the Spirit is dead. It's necessary. We're going to look later, but John 16 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I not go away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Paul told us, but ye are not of the flesh. Ye that he comes to, you are in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, you have his Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Because they spoke about those that shall receive his Spirit. How necessary is it for God to send us his Spirit? It's eternal life or death. It's eternal life or death. And I ask a question. Have I received the Holy Spirit? Has the Holy Ghost come to me? This was talked about a lot in my childhood. People said, little Susie or little Timmy Sunday, whoo, buddy, they had the ghost with them. They had the Spirit. Spirit was talking to them. They was dancing. Oh, they were feeling good. They were feeling warm and fuzzy. They just needed that. They needed to go get recharged for the week. They were playing piano like Jerry Lee Lewis. I saw his heel go up and start kicking them. I heard all kinds of things. I hear it spoke of a lot in this area, too. It says geographically bound. I heard it spoke a lot in this generation. People ask me flat out, do you have the Holy Ghost there? I've had people attend here briefly, and they leave and tell me I don't have the Holy Ghost. I said, really? What'd it look like? What do you measure that by? Well, I feel. I feel. We'll see that in a second. People say they don't feel the Spirit. Me being a preacher, do I have to ask myself this? Not me, him pecking you. Not me whipping you. Do you have the Spirit? You have the Holy Ghost with you? Do I have to ask myself this? Our Lord said, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Ain't we preached in your name? I ain't no different than anybody else, am I? Turn over to Revelation 1. Revelation 1. What is it to have this Spirit given to you? What does it do to you? What's the response of a human being when God the Holy Ghost comes to somebody? Revelation 1, verse 10. This is John writing. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. He'd seen this one before. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps, with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Here's this apostle that the Lord loved. So close to him, spent so much time with him, so familiar with him. Did he start chit-chatting? I know you. Come here, buddy. No, that's not what happened. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You going to be jumping over the pews to make it to the front, shake somebody's hand? You're going to start jibber-jabbering in tongues because the Spirit come to you? If God, the Holy Spirit, comes to somebody and you see Christ as He is, you're going to fall like a dead man. That's what's going to happen. You're going to hush. You're going to quit your bodily, physical activity and your exercise, and you're going to be humbled at His feet. People say, well, that ain't what happens in my church. Well, we'll address that in a minute. We'll get to that. Let's turn to Ezekiel. This ain't just New Testament stuff. Ezekiel chapter 1. You got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. If you get to Daniel, went too far. Ezekiel chapter 1. The Spirit of God came to Ezekiel, and he was describing here in the end of first chapter. He's telling us in Ezekiel 1, he's talking about the throne was like the appearance of a man, just like John. There's a person, a body was there. Wasn't it? A human. Ezekiel 1, verse 28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. Like a rainbow. We looked at that before. We've been through that, ain't we? Who's the rainbow? Well, what does it represent this month? Hogwash. Who's the rainbow? That's the Almighty God, the covenant God, who that represents. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. I fell upon my face. And I heard. I heard. He said, I read about it. He said, I watched it on TV. He said, I zoomed in on it. He said, I heard. Is that what he said? I heard a voice of the one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand up on thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me. You want to receive that Spirit? Is it going to enter into you? And the Spirit entered into me when He spake unto me. That breath entered me when that breath came to me. And set me upon my feet, that I heard Him that spake unto me. What did the Spirit entering Ezekiel make him do? Fall on his face and hear. Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. I have feelings when I'm preaching. Did you know that? God's preachers have feelings when they preach. Most of the time, over half, I feel like I'm walking through concrete. You think you see Satan at work on the news, standing in the pulpit. I feel like I'm walking through concrete. I feel like I have no one's attention. I feel like what I'm saying don't hardly make sense to me, and I'm the one that read it. There's no way God will bless this. Let me get to the last page of notes. I got to get this over with. And then I'm going to run and hide. I don't want to talk to nobody. Get me out of here. I'm going to buy a house. We'll buy a cave. Go hide in. And people will come up to me with tears in their eyes, crying to how, oh man, I needed that. That's just what happened this week. And then other times I feel like I really have something to say. I feel like God's words inside of my bones burning to come out. And how in the world somebody couldn't hear what I have to say and shut up and listen, bow and hear and rejoice with me. I said, well, see you next time. Does it make a difference how I feel? That's what that article, Brother Angus, there in the bulletin. If we truly understand God, it don't matter how I feel. We just preach His Word. It don't matter what I reason. I just preach His Word. It don't matter. I think, well, I'm going to preach this message first because I know who's going to be here. And then that this other one can be preached the next hour because then we might have more people then or whatever. What I think don't matter. Just get up and preach His Word. That'll be the test of a watchman. That's hard words, but so it is. That's a test of God's watchman. Is he faithful to the end? Not close to the end, not till mile 25 of that marathon. Is he faithful to preach Christ and bow to Him to the end and tell others to do the same? I pray God keeps me and makes me faithful. I'm prone to wonder. I'm prone to take the easy route. I'm prone to do what's convenient. And you know, it just makes a lot of sense if we start doing this. So many people have, I'm different than most folks, and I know it. I'd make decisions different than most folks, and I know it. I work different than most folks, and I know it. And people think I'm so strange. I raise my children different than most people do. People say, well, Kevin's just different. I do it according to His Word. And I'm learning as I grow older and older to do His Word. Not to act like I know it and then ignore it and spit in His face. Do what He says. Why? Because I love Him. I love His law. I'm in love with a person. Is it vital for the Spirit to come and give life? It is. What happens to a person when the Spirit comes? They bow and listen and not speak. They're shut up to God because of the sin that they are. What the Spirit proves to them, convinces them they are. Turn over to John 16. We'll see what that work is. This is what takes in place, what time the faces are hitting the ground and the mouths are stopped. John 16. Verse 7. Christ speaking here says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Is there any qualification we need to have that's more needed to bow to what He says than that? What I tell you is the truth. You think He's lying? What I tell you is the truth. It is expedient for you. It's profitable for you. It's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, God's Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, when He's come to you, God the Holy Ghost comes down to Ezekiel or to John or to you or me. He will reprove, that word's convince. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. You know what a child of God will say? There was a time I hated God. There was a time I didn't believe Him. And then He sent His Spirit to me. I'm nothing but sin. And sin's not what I do, it's what I am. It's a noun, it's not a verb. We do. We do sin. We commit sins because we are sin. That's my nature. Just as His nature is holy, my nature is sin. That's all I can do. Of righteousness righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. I'm convinced he's holy. I'm convinced I'm nothing, and I'm convinced he's everything. Why? Because he's the only one that's ever ascended. Willingly laid down his life, and that sacrifice, not of blood of bulls and goats, that sacrifice of his Son, the propitiation he provided, it went up. It was consumed, just like we've been reading with Abraham. That sacrifice was accepted. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of it. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That's twofold, isn't it? I see what I am. I'm convinced of what I am. And I'm convinced judgment's coming. And the only hope I have at all is to be in the one that's righteous. Kevin, I think you're painting a bad picture. I just ain't. I mean, I'm bad. I've committed. But I'm not an enemy of God. I pray God's Holy Spirit comes to you and convince you what you are. Well, Christ is good. He's a good man. Or maybe he's the Savior. Jesus is everybody's Savior. Read a bumper sticker. You'll know that. But now he's done some stuff. I got to do some more. He's the righteous one. He finished the work. He shall save his people. Outside of him, I'm settled to my own judgment. I have to defend myself in that holy court, and I cannot stand. I cannot stand. In him, there is therefore now no condemnation. I'm convinced of it. I may falter, I may woe. I'm in that boat and I'm just tossed to and fro with the seas, but I'm in that boat. You ain't going to tell me I'm in an airplane, I'm in a boat. You can tell me I'm in a giraffe, I'm in a boat. I'm in him. Christ the ark, and I know it. I've been convinced of it. Have you been convinced of it? What's the proof of these things? If the Holy Ghost is not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's what our text is. That plain enough? Is the Holy Ghost there? It's not. How do we know it's not there? Because Christ was not yet glorified. That one's not lifted up yet. Yeah, but boy, you should have heard that piano playing. Well, the piano player's exalted. You should have heard those beautiful lyrics, those singing. Oh, what a beautiful singing voice they have. That's exalted. Walking an aisle, doing this. You know how many people they baptize today? Baptism's exalted. Holy Ghost ain't there. Christ is exalted. How can I know if I'm lacking the Holy Ghost? Christ will not receive all the glory and he will not be glorified. If I have him, Christ will be glorified. He'll be exalted. How can I know if my home that I raise my children in has the blessing of the Holy Spirit in it? Is Christ glorified there? Is he the only one glorified? How can I know if the church I attend has the Holy Spirit? Is Christ the only one receiving the glory? Is his work of redemption completed? Because he says it was. Are those he saved fully equipped to meet the triune holy God, be in his presence for eternity? It's paid in full. Some translators said whenever he's hung on the cross and he cried out, "It is finished." They said, you know, technically, and I was, I started zoning out. I don't want to hear it. I don't like technicalities. They said, technically, that was a merchant's term, and it could be more appropriately translated, paid in full. And I said, okay, I won't kick you out of that. It is finished. Paid in full. Not the 99-cent store, and he gave you 98 cents. You got to come up with a penny. It's finished. It's done. It's paid in full. How can I know what body of believers I should unite with? Where the Spirit is. The Spirit's where Christ is exalted. It doesn't matter what your feelings are. It doesn't matter how the oratory comes out, or the sensibility of the dictation. How logical the points are. I could just really understand that. It matters if the Son of God is high and lifted up. And nothing else and no one else. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. You have to hear. You have to hear. He shall not speak. Verse 13. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. He's going to glorify Christ when he comes. And whenever he enters his people, they're going to fall down on their faces. They're going to hear. And they're going to glorify Him too, because that's what's going to be shown to us. It ain't going to be shown how to clean up your living, though that'll come. It ain't going to show you how to be a good husband and a good wife, though that'll come. It's going to be showed unto you Christ's glory. Turn close. There's some places that it ain't. And it's prevalent. It's throughout. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. I saw a meme. Someone said, well, I'm going to church there and I'm just getting the good parts. I'll feed on the good parts. And it was a guy up to his waist, flipped over upside down in a dumpster. I wouldn't want to eat out of that dumpster, would you? Sheep do it. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, leave not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many. Does that say a few? Because many. Does that say, well, there's about half? Many. Many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ, that's the Lord. That's not some dude named Jesus. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. This is the one prophesied of old. He fulfilled the Scriptures. That Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth, not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. What's that mean? Did He show up? Everybody believes that, don't they? Most people do. No, that He's come in a body. That perfect will and that perfect triune God and spirit and truth came in a body. He did a work of His Father. He finished the work. His people are fully redeemed. Where He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. He's our all. And He's ascended on high. That substitute we had sitting on His throne interceding for His people. Those that don't believe that, they're not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Is that hard to figure out? There's Christ and Antichrist. There's Him and everything that's against Him. Well, Antichrist is that super billionaire that's trying to put robots up everybody's nose. Hogwash! That's nonsense! It's a man in a suit and a tie standing with the Bible saying, you ought to do something. God wants you to do something. He needs you to do something. God said He's elected a people before the time began, but now you got to clean yourself up a little bit. You ought to start walking this way. You better start doing this. That's against Christ, isn't it? The strong terms, I have no fear of saying them. It ain't my terms, it's God's terms. That's what it is, Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that it should come. How'd you know that was going to come? You heard. It was on our face, busy listening. What He told us. And even now is already in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He. How do we know we've overcome this world, we've overcome death, we've overcome judgment, we've overcome everything? How do we know that? And I know the Spirit's in me. Because greater is He that is in you. Glorified is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that something? We pray often, Lord, have Your Spirit with us. What are we really asking? Lord, if You'll please, send Your Spirit with us. Because what we're doing is just vanity. I might as well be up here reading off baseball statistics from 1973. Why do we need His Spirit? We need Christ exalted in our hearts. That's what we need. All right, brethren. We'll meet back again at 10:30. I can't get it under 30 minutes. I'm trying. 33. I'm getting closer.